One of our top stories this morning, Caressa Jill Hardy, also known as Glenn Dibley, appeared before Missoula District Court Judge James Wheelis yesterday for two counts of deliberate homicide. Missoula County Attorney Kirsten Papps was the prosecutor in the courtroom for the transgendered woman.
Ms. Hardy entered not guilty pleas, and the court set the matter for its next hearing, which is an omnibus hearing, mid-November. Two counts of deliberate homicide for allegedly causing the deaths of Thomas Korjak and Robert Orozco in 2013.
Papps provided the next step in Hardy's prosecution.
It's a master scheduling hearing. At that point, the discovery process should be well underway, and we are working on that now. As you can imagine, the discovery, or another name for the investigative file, is quite lengthy and quite complex. The bodies have not been located.
Papps said although neither of the bodies had yet been found, there is sufficient forensic evidence to charge her with two counts of deliberate homicide. MTN News reports that St. Regis Schools in Mineral County was evacuated yesterday after a bomb threat. St. Regis Superintendent Joe Steele said a note was discovered written on a dollar bill left in the locker room about 4:15 yesterday afternoon. Steele said the note was brought to the administration and they promptly secured the building. The note claimed there was a bomb at the school. Steele said law enforcement was called, including a bomb-sniffing dog. Nothing was found. The second candidate in the search for a new president of the University of Montana appeared before a packed house at the University Center Theater yesterday. He's Andy Feinstein, currently the provost and senior vice president at San Jose State University in California. Feinstein began by talking about U of M students.
You have an incredible student body here, and much like San Jose State University, a third of your students are first in their family to go to college, and that's very important to me. You also have diversity, but certainly socioeconomic diversity. You have a growing Hispanic population of students, and you also have a significant number of Native American students. And the diversity of this campus, I think, is what certainly brings great interest to me.
Feinstein focused on the successful research being conducted at UM, with even more funding raised here than in San Jose State.
It's amazing to me the amount of growth that you've had over the last 5 years in research. You're generating about $90 million of research expenditures here. That's almost doubled in the last 4 years. And for a campus that's had difficulty, challenges with budget, it's a remarkable achievement. And it's vitally, I think, important that that continues to grow.
Feinstein spoke of UM's athletic program and expressed condolences for the loss of Grizzly quarterback Reese Phillips to a leg injury, and look forward to seeing the Grizzlies play Eastern Washington on Saturday. The next candidate to visit will be Seth Bodner. He'll come to campus tomorrow, while the final candidate will be Chuck Ambrose next Monday. The governor's budget director is recommending Montana agencies cut $229 million in general fund spending over the next 2 years to balance the state's budget due to lower revenues than expected and this summer's higher firefighting costs. Most of the cuts recommended by Budget Director Dan Villa were proposed by state agencies when they were asked to list how they'd cut 10% of their budgets. However, Villa is recommending against cuts proposed by the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation because it would impact Montana's ability to fight fires. He also recommended against 50 job cuts in the Department of Revenue because they would hurt the state's ability to collect those business income taxes. The Legislative Finance Committee will consider the proposed cuts next month before Governor Bullock makes his final recommendations. Even though many of the fires that hit western Montana this summer are dead or dying, teams of people are still working on the ground right up through the November trying to prevent another natural disaster, mudslides. Rice Ridge Fire Information Officer Mike Cole explained the work of burned area emergency response crews.
They'll go in and specifically look for areas where the soil might have been really extremely burned, because in those situations, it actually creates a crust on the surface. And then if it rains a lot, instead of soaking into the ground, it'll run off the surface in sheets. And that's what moves soil down the hill and creates debris flows, plugs up culverts, and takes out roads.
If the ground is burned so severely that it won't absorb water, there are still a few steps crews can take.
They might take these long straw wattles, stake those in the ground for erosion control. They may do horizontal falling of snags, stake those so that any soil movement gets caught. And they'll be cleaning out ditches and culverts so that if any soil movement comes down, they won't be plugging up those culverts and taking the roads out.
The Type 1 Incident Management Team on Rice Ridge will leave today and be replaced with a Type 2 Incident Management Team, which will be focused on repairing that area. Taiwan has once again agreed to purchase a large share of U.S. wheat over the next 2 years, most of it coming from Idaho, North Dakota, and, of course, Montana. Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter and Taiwanese milling industry officials signed the $576 million agreement yesterday at the Idaho Capitol in Boise. That totals 1.8 million metric tons of U.S. wheat in 2018 and 2019 combined. According to the Idaho Wheat Commission, Taiwan mostly buys Idaho's soft white wheat used in cookies, crackers, and noodles. However, Taiwan also has been buying more of the state's hard red wheat to use in bread. The United States supplies more than 80% of Taiwan's total wheat imports every year. Missoula Police Department's having their second Coffee with a Cop event this morning. Police spokesman Travis Welsh said this gathering's open to anyone who'd like to talk with local law enforcement.
We are inviting the public to come down to the Florence building in the lobby there between 7:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. To sit down and have a cup of coffee with us and just exchange some ideas or ask questions or give us a chance to provide information to anybody who has, you know, those types of questions that we can answer.
According to Welsh, their department isn't the only one hosting this type of event.
If you notice around the country, these events are taking place more and more often where law enforcement is reaching out by various means to try to establish lines of communication with the public they serve. And that's what we're trying to do here is just have another medium for people to communicate with us.
Well said, there were lots of smiles at the first event a few months ago. He said he hopes there'll be more of the same today. Finally, authorities say officers arrested two wanted men at the border crossing in Blaine, Washington. The Bellingham Herald reported yesterday U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers arrested the men at the Peach Arch border. One of the ones who was arrested was 70-year-old Roy Sinclair of Ronan, Montana. He had a warrant from the Lake County Sheriff's Office at Polson for an assault with a weapons charge. Our News Talk time now is 6:12.
News Talk, KGVO.
Missoula's official weather station.
Mostly cloudy skies today with a chance of rain. Daytime highs will top out in the mid-50s. Overnight tonight will drop back into the upper 30s. If you are traveling, we expect accumulating snow over Lolo and Lost Trail Pass. I'm meteorologist Brooke Foster for Missoula's KECI 13.